Hello again from Beyond the Estuary. Back again for another podcast, podcast 8 this is. This week I've been trying to write a bit of poetry of my own, and also going to do a review soon of a recent book of poetry from Girimondo Press by Michael Farrell, a collection called Family Trees. Michael, I suppose, is an experimental poet, very different to the sort of style that I write myself, so it'll be interesting to get into that and look at poetry that's a little bit different to my own style. But I'm delighted today to have the first of my guest presenters, guest podcasters, and that's Wendy Fleming. And Wendy is a poet who's been writing for a long time. She was formerly president of Melbourne Poets Union, and she now happens to be a member of the poetry group that I usually attend, which of course we haven't been attending now for a number of weeks, months. And Wendy today is going to talk about the poet John Jenkins, and she's going to read one of his poems and also asked her to read one of her own poems. So sit back and enjoy this first guest podcast from Wendy Fleming.
John Jenkins is a full-time writer who lives on a rural property in the Yarra Valley. John's been writing poetry since 1967 and has 9 collections. He also writes non-fiction, short stories, radio plays, and sometimes for live performance. He has won a number of prizes for his poetry, including Melbourne Poets Union International Poetry Competition in 2013. And the poem was called When He Read the Poem in the Room Above the Stairs. He enjoys walking, good wine, and he hopes for a better world. If you'd like to learn more about John, just go to his website, johnjenkins.com.au. Last year, he had a new book published by Puncher and Wattman. The book is called Poems Far and Wide. There are some magical poems in this book, such as Under the Shaded Blossom, where he imagines the poet Wallace Stevens, who was also an insurance executive, meeting with the shady character called Maya Lenski in Havana. Or another piece of magic called Parable of the Lobster and the Brick, which follows the tram ride of the lobster with his companion, the brick. Many of his poems are long and full of narrative. However, I've chosen this one because I think it sort of sits into our current situation. The man who found himself. The man who found himself was reading in the garden when a note slipped out of his book. Good luck. Keep looking for yourself. So he handed out leaflets in the street, posted photographs everywhere. If you see me, please ring. But they were of a younger self, so no one did. Certainly, he saw parts of himself in everyone. But that was true of anyone. The man who found himself tried crystal healing, table rapping, ear candling, sought faith in every creed, read Jung, prayed in dozens of empty churches, watched men in funny hats and gowns swing censers, left shiny things in shrines. After a bad dream, he even inspected his local cemetery just to leave no stone unturned. His grand mystical quest, however, took him further from himself. Finally, he said, "I'm over it," and pinched himself awake. He came sharply back, woke up from his trance. What is, simply is, he saw, whether rock or tree, a person. He had been all along. Still years left on the calendar, when nothing's lost. There's no point searching any further. He enjoyed the day, caught up with friends, did useful things, exercise, travel, some gardening. The man who found himself shook hands with himself and got on with his life. Now, John Bartlett has kindly suggested I read one of my poems. So I'm reading one which is, I think is appropriate for the advancing winter. Western Poets Union Inc. are going to include it in an anthology later this year. Train Tracked. On the train I sneeze, drip and cough. Weep, swipe, wipe, squeeze onto the seat for the feeble. A young woman, as she leaves, turns, passes me a piece of paper, white, smaller than a needs list. How sweet, I think, expecting at least one tissue. It's not. Instead, it's a note, handwritten in blue. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God loves you, Jesus does. How to respond? She's gone. In my fever I plead. Dear Jesus, I am wanting, extremely wanting, of a tissue. I want tissues by thousands, but a few would do. No response. No choice. Back into my handbag, grab wet, crumpled tissues, run over the raw tracks, nostril to lip. What to do with the tract? Someone more wanting? As I leave, stepping over the gap, should I pass it on, or should I wait, find someone sniffing and sneezing?
Well, thank you very much for that, Wendy. It's terrific to have a guest poet reading on this podcast, and anybody else who wants to send in a little audio of themselves reading or talking about poetry, please do. I thought I'd finish today just with one of my own poems, and this is a poem that will be is in my latest chapbook, Songs of the Godforsaken, which will be released next month. And this poem is called Tiny Hearts. Mothers in tight tank tops and lemony lycra slacks with tattoos of dolphins and tiny hearts push prams down Merridrig Drive, posting baby antics on Instagram. My mother, wearing pearls and blue cardigan, tucks slippered feet under the kitchen table like a medieval monk, her pen gliding over blue notepaper decorated with tiny hearts, writing to her mother in the city about the baby, making toffee for school fates and swollen ankles. Jean-Baptiste Alphonse Coeur and Bon Jovi agree. The more things change, the more they stay the same. The same damn song with a different tune. Well, thanks again for listening today, and feel free to comment in the comment section on the website, or send in your own poems and comments about poetry. And stay well and safe, and we'll see you next week.